3 days came the Japanese surrender offer. Three of the war's biggest stories had broken in the space of 5 days. In the space of 5 days. The Japanese press and radio have still said nothing to the Japanese people about the surrender negotiations. But the Tokyo radio has been broadcasting messages to be beamed to the people or to be printed in the papers in due course. In one of them, Domei says, the emperor felt extreme concern ever since he issued his declaration of war on December 8, 1941. The message continued as follows. Household 100 million people filled with trepidation reply to the emperor.
Who suffered many, many months of hardship and all the pains and peril of combat and so gallantly faced death on land and sea and in the air. And who are still faced with these formidable discomforts and dangers. Those men who never know what bullet or shell fragment bears their name. With that thought in mind, we here at home can be very patient and prayerful for them, and indeed for ourselves, until the final word emerges from our president. Until we can say, and I repeat, with a
hand since sometime late this afternoon. But whatever the news, whatever the Japanese answer contains, it would appear indeed that the great, great waiting.
Good evening, friends. We are still in what might be called the aspirin stage of the ending of the war. Last night we celebrated, and today we've been trying to get over it. Those whose mood was not one of celebration were on their knees, thanking Almighty God and invoking His help in meeting worthily the stern tasks that lie ahead. Tomorrow we shall all be thinking a great deal about the future. What I shall have to say this evening relates to the months and the years that lie ahead. I think America is somewhat staggered by the awful responsibilities which confront this nation and its people. We Americans wish that we did not have these responsibilities. It would be so much easier if we could say, as we said after the last war, that Europe's problems and Asia's problems are not our problems, that they should tend to their affairs and let us tend to ours. But we know we cannot do that. It would be so much simpler if we could once and for all end all government regulations and controls so that each person could just do as he pleased. But we know that is out of the question. We have built up such a powerful military machine and such terrific productive power that it is almost frightening. And we have the awful responsibility of being custodian of the secrets of atomic energy. Yes, it would be easier and more comfortable if we did not have all these responsibilities. But the clear fact is that we do have them and that we cannot escape them. The only question is how we are going to discharge them. What will we do with the victory now that our fighting men have won it? President Truman, speaking to American troops in Berlin, said that it is our purpose to build a peaceful and prosperous future. That is good, but it doesn't go far enough in analyzing our objectives. Peace is, in a very real sense, a negative term. War is something positive. It entails the organization of people for the purpose of killing other people. Peace may be defined as the absence of war. That's why I call it negative. Because war is something positive, it is possible to unite people into a great working force and to achieve miracles of production, transportation, and organized destruction. Because peace is negative, it has always been impossible to achieve these miracles after a war is over, to accomplish miracles of construction comparable to war's miracles of destruction. President Truman says we will rebuild a peaceful world. What will we do with that peace? Peace for what? And as to his other aim, a prosperous world. Prosperous for whom? Prosperous for some nations and peoples and not for others? Prosperous for some individuals and not for others? The world always has been prosperous for some nations, the ones on top, and for some individuals, the ones on top. What do you mean, then, by a prosperous world, Mr. President? The ultimate objective towards which we must work in the future, it seems to me, can be found in two places, the Christian religion and the democratic faith. Christianity teaches that each individual is worth something. He isn't just a cog in the social machine, just a card in a filing case, just a number in the army, or just a slave of the state. He isn't just someone to be kicked around by someone else. The preachers tell us he has a soul, whatever they mean by that. The psychologists say he has a personality, whatever they mean by that. It doesn't matter. In either case, he is worth something as an individual. Democracy is the human expression of this Christian teaching. Self-government, personal rights, and the other aspects of what we call democracy all add up to a scheme of human relationships in tune with the Christian idea of individual worth. All our policies, whether domestic or foreign, in the years ahead, will be right if they are in harmony with the Christian and democratic faith in the infinite worth of the individual. They will be wrong if they are not in harmony with that faith. Contrary to the literal words of the Declaration of Independence, all men are not created equal. Some individuals are strong, others are weak. The same is true of nations. Jeremy Bentham, the English philosopher, and his disciple John Stuart Mill taught that the greatest good to the greatest number would result if people were completely free to do as they pleased. Perhaps that was good in theory, but it was not good in practice. In the century and a half since Jeremy Bentham wrote, that has been proved. The strong men and the strong nations have oppressed and exploited their weaker brethren, and did so in the name of liberty and freedom. We have come in our time to realize that the strong must be curbed and the weak must be helped. That is the meaning of the United Nations organizations in international relations and of what we call social security laws within this country. Nations and individuals must be left just as free as possible to achieve their own destinies, but this must not include the right to oppress and exploit others. There must be opportunity for the pursuit of happiness for every individual and every nation in this time of peace which is dawning. The lodestar of our policy should be to make this possible. Good night.